You've been searching for answers, wandering in the dark, looking for that glimmer of light that resonates with your soul and spirit. As you step into this new era that some indigenous people refer to as the Rainbow Bridge, without a compass, without a guide, yet needing some help to navigate your way through this spiritual maze, look no further. We've got the map. The Searcher's Roadmap. Now here's your host for The Searcher's Roadmap, Rhonda Harris.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're at. I hope you're having a great day or the end of a great day. Today I have Augie Nost from Norway, but he's also have lived in the United States for quite some time now. And I'm happy to bring him to this show. He's got a new book out called Spiritual Science, Higher Consciousness Thinking, and his concepts are very interesting. And I think everyone will have a lot to listen to and to take in, and it's looking at your belief systems and the secrets of society and the universe as far as what we're not told, as far as how powerful we really are. And he's going to help us envision that and maybe even lead us in a little bit of meditation around that topic. And with that, I'm going to bring Augie into the studio. Hi, Augie.
Hello, hello.
So tell everyone how you started to come to writing this book a little bit and a little bit of your background and what got you curious about the whole universal consciousness.
Well, I've been researching paranormal in a roundabout way since I was probably about 10 years old or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found a lot of things that prove to me that the whole universe we think we are living in is not the way it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see is that religion and government seems to have an agenda to support themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves us sitting there on the outside with none of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But once we start digging and start finding out who we are, what we are, and what the universe is, then we can really advance up the scale, the tone scale of spiritual advancement a lot faster than what religion and governmentalism, the cult of government, can do for us. So in order to understand the universe and especially how this book was created, I've been meditated for probably around 50 years or so, and I have been in meditation just every day, so to speak, for probably an hour or so, pretty much every day. And in the 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes or so, and a half hour or more in the evening. And there was one time I was sitting in meditation, that was in the early morning, and I kind of went away for a while. I don't know how long it was, but while I was there, I had what I call a download.
Mm-hmm.
The download gave me the universal information that came to me, and pretty much had a understanding of the whole universe in concept and detail, fully. And it just blew me away, and I sat there. I really didn't know what to do with it. And then I figured, you know, all this, I got to write it down. So I grabbed a pen, and I grabbed something to write on, and I started writing. And, of course, I had to do a few things in between, but I wrote for about 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is what is in this book. But I realized after I had written it down that, no, I can't talk about this. They'll think I'm nuts. So I talked to another gentleman there, and he said, no, this makes sense. He says, quantum physics talks about this. So go up to the library, and he told me about a book, and read that, he said. And I did, and there it was. A lot of the stuff that I had written down was right in that book. So I figured out that I could write about it, and I'm backing it up in the book with a lot of quantum physics and quantum mechanics. So it kind of makes sense, because I take out the equations. The equations I lose myself in, but the concepts and the ideas behind it, that I can understand. So that's what's in the book, and I go a lot further than what quantum physics talk about, because I talk about how to use it for your own advantage, how to use these concepts so that you can create in your life to the point where you can do with basically nothing things that almost looks like miracles.
And are miracles.
Yeah, and... of course, I've always been saying that you know, there are no such thing as magic or miracles. There's only science of the future.
Right.
Because I think the creators of Star Trek, they got it wrong. They said space, the final frontier. No, it isn't. The mind is the final frontier.
Frontier, exactly.
Yeah.
And the more you stretch it, the more you use it, the more you question what you're really being given, to which, you know, a lot of the people that listen to my radio shows, they're questioning this stuff. They're starting to question society, questioning the government, questioning their religiosity. Not that any of those things are bad, but when they're out of sync with everything else, then there's a power that's there that needs to be changed. And I think that if all of us got on a better thinking page of, you know, how big our lives could really be rather than how little, because they like to keep us little and stuck, you know.
Yeah.
And your book tells us we don't have to be little and stuck anymore. And you explain it and you put it up, you know, right up front, you know. And if you could talk about that some, about how we just don't know how to use our minds and we're not given an instruction book.
No, we were never, you remember when you were in school? The teacher told you, read this chapter and go home and memorize it because you're going to have a test on it tomorrow. And, oh, God, I hated that because I wasn't sure I was going to be able to remember all that. And why didn't the teacher tell us how to remember? Well, it's because he didn't know either.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody knows how the mind works. We think it is automatic. And this mind that we have, we think it's the brain, but it's not even the brain. There's so much more than that. It goes into every corner of the universe and beyond the physical. So there is the whole universe that we are living in is a mind-created universe. Quantum physics proves that to us. In fact, we are not even separate from the whole universe. We are one with the sun, we are one with the earth, the air, and we are connected to everything in the universe. You do not have a life. You are life. And the soul, some people say, well, I have a soul. No, you don't. It's the soul that takes on and creates a physical body for a while and uses it to have spiritual experiences or physical experiences, because in the arena or in the medium that the soul, the spark of life exists, there is no physical experiences. So in order to have those, the soul had to create a physical body as a hologram to walk around in and have these experiences. And it feels so real. When you walk around, you stub your toe, it hurts. And when somebody do something to you, you have feelings. And this is equal for everything within the physical reality. When two substances vibrating on the same frequency, they will seem solid to each other. So that's why everything around you feels solid, because we are all of us and all of things are within that hologram. So everything you see around you is not really there. It is a movie that is played by the mind. And the mind is created, it's funneled through the ego of the mind to create this Now this is it's something that it's hard to buy, but on the other hand, there are some references to it even in scripture. We can talk to people. Everybody has prayed at one time. I don't care if you're an atheist, you still have prayed at one time in your past. But we're not told how to do that either.
Mm-hmm.
There is a reference in Moses' book, ninth book of Moses, where he talks about how to pray and get results every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can refer to that. He says, you go in your chamber. That means going within, in meditation or quiet contemplation or prayer, whatever works for you. You go in your chamber. And then he says, you know what you want. That means send a clear message and do not waffle on it. If you don't know what you want, how in the world can they give you what you want?
Exactly.
Yeah, and then he says, see it in your heart. That means visualize it, because back then the heart, the word heart and the word mind was the same thing. And then he says, speak it aloud with emotion so the tears flow. Emotion is the carrier of thought. And then he says, know it is yours. When you know it is yours, that means to have conviction that it is already yours. Linear time may not have caught up with it yet, but it is yours and it will show up in your life. And then he says, leave it to God. In other words, let it go and don't worry about it because it has already happened.
Mm-hmm.
It already happened outside of the physical, where there is no time. Past, present, and future is already existing as potentials of existence in that medium.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the church won't know how to teach you these things. But it's not really because they necessarily will hold it back from you. It's
right.
Just they don't know either.
Mm-hmm.
They know some of it, what to say, but they don't know how to say it. Because you got to visualize. The language of the spiritual world is not one of words. It is one of emotion, feelings, vivid, colorful pictures,
mm-hmm.
intention, especially emotions. That is very strongly understood. And that's when we have, let's say that we have something we call a problem. Oh, God, we're thinking about that all the time, how bad it could be. We start to create scenarios in our mind. How much worse can it get, you know, and so on. And the universe looked at that and said, gee, these are strong feelings. Wow, that's wonderful. I'll give him some more of that.
Yep.
Instead of sitting down, when you have a so-called problem, sit down, analyze it in the different facets of it once. So you understand it, and then push it out, and now get on the problem-solving process. Visualize it solved in a matter that you want it to have been done. Don't think about the problems, because those emotional feelings, they go straight to the source, and it will at least delay the solving problem process. That makes sense?
Oh, it totally makes sense, and it's one of those that it's mystical, but it's not mythical. It's actually,
yeah.
You know, a science, and you can prove a lot of things, and, you know, history keeps repeating itself, you know, one way or another with wars and all of this, and it's like if we would look at all of the universal consciousness and information and see how the stars are lining up and everything, that they actually fall every so often, and then these things happen, and it's like,
yeah.
Why can't we learn from this and change it up so that we're not all fighting against each other? Why can't we, like I put it to the listeners, it's like a beautiful jewel, and it has hundreds of facets, you know, and different types of spirituality and rituals and ceremonies, and different colors of skin and different attitudes and beliefs. But if you take any one of those and say, oh, well, this one's bad and you can't do that one, or I'm the only one that you can trust, you know, you're throwing the whole beauty of the jewel, you know, away because you're blocking out or overexposing things like the ego going too big, you know, to which a lot of what our country and the churches ran on, you know, is ego.
Yep.
You know, and about one wanting to outdo the other rather than what can we do that would really help heal the whole universe, you know, and prayer, we know, does that.
Yeah, and prayer is one word for it, but meditation,
right,
and the requests for things in meditation, that is a form of prayer.
Right.
So there are many different words for the same thing, and of course religion like the word prayer better, which is perfectly all right.
Mm-hmm. And just due to my Christian upbringing, and then now I've gotten so broad with what my beliefs are. I mean, I was raised Mennonite until I was 12. So, I mean, I had a pretty strict idea of what God was, you know.
Yeah.
But now it's more, you know, it's a beautiful, non-punishing, wants to give you whatever you really want and need to be suffice so that they can experience it with you.
Yeah. And if you go back and take the Christian religion for one thing, if you go back and read the, you can get your hands on it, actually. You read the minutes or the notes from the meeting in Constantinople, Turkey in 325 when the learned got together to create the first draft of the Bible, you will find out that was absolutely not a spiritual meeting. There was a political meeting that was ordered for the outcome. The outcome was already decided, and it was ordered by the emperor that this is what you will create. Just put it in words so we can unify our empire. And because Constantine, he looked at the Jews and he saw the unity within their society, their strength behind religion. And he wanted that because he had fires, brush fires everywhere throughout the empire. So he says, this is what I want and this is what you're going to create. 220 people got together and they went through 9,000 scrolls, old writings and tablets, picked what they wanted, and discarded the rest. They took a lot of these scrolls and they rewrote them, burned the original, and then the new one became the original.
Right.
And the whole thing that they came out with was predetermined. There were a vote, says right in the notes from it, that there was a vote on whether they should declare this Joshua a deity, with other words, a god.
Right.
And everybody, they discussed on that for several days. They could not agree on it. And then there were three guys that voted no because they had not seen anything in the record showing that he was a god.
Mm-hmm.
They voted no, and they were immediately grabbed. They were taken and expelled out of the region to the very northern part of the empire and let go. So the whole thing was predetermined. So that's why I got a lot of questions when it comes to that particular.
I hear you there. I have a lot of questions too, and I can't wait until the day that I turn back into the universe where I can go out and ask questions. You know, float around.
Maybe we should
start.
Maybe we should get back on manifestation a little bit because people.
Yeah, the manifestation is a good deal.
Yeah. Now, creation is a natural state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it all the time. But not necessarily all for the good and all for pleasant for the physical existence, but it is good for something. I don't care how bad it is, what we create for ourselves. It is good for something because the spiritual entity behind it all that created this physical existence wanted the experience. And this thing called punishment and sin and all that is also a myth.
Mm-hmm.
A myth that was created in 325 when they looked at that and say, do you know we got to have a boogeyman, basically? Of course, I'm playing on words here.
Yeah.
But they took this, the word hell, Maybe I can help a few people here that is afraid of hell. Hell, that comes from an old Hebrew word that I don't know how it spells, but it's somewhat is pronounced somewhat similar as Helacha.
Mm-hmm.
That was the garbage dump outside of Jerusalem, where
mm-hmm.
they took all the bodies of the criminals that they executed, for the rapists and the thieves and the murderers, and they took them out there and burned their bodies. So the myth came about saying, you got to be nice, or you're
mm-hmm.
going to go to hell outside,
mm-hmm.
which was the place outside the city where they burned the bodies. So you will burn in hell. That came from that concept, and the church twisted it around to scare the crap out of the people so that they could keep control of them and have a flow of cash. Because if you aren't nice, then you have to come to us and give us money so we can pray for you.
Mm-hmm. And do tithing.
That's
mm-hmm.
how hell came about, and that's
mm-hmm.
what it was. Now we got to keep something in mind here, and that is that we live in a mind-created universe.
Mm-hmm.
If our mind has created this concept so strongly in our mind that it is a total belief, when we then drop the body, we may end up in a place that looks like that because the mind has already created it.
Mm-hmm.
And we will probably stay there until we figure it out, that I can think myself out of here. This
mm-hmm.
is not necessary. And then they end up no longer in hell. So if we believe we are going to heaven, then chances are that we're going to end up in a place. There is a place like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're mostly Catholics in there, and they are stagnant. They're just sitting there basically and doing absolutely nothing except just walking around and trying to be happy. It is it's a place where it's pretty stagnant. They are not joining with the universal light where we come from. That great sea of light that originally was and still is before the beginning, 14.3 billion years ago, when mm-hmm. this one thought, there was a, in the oneness, there was a thought that broke out and asked the question, what can I create on my own outside of the collective? And from there on, he started there's no gender back then,
mm-hmm.
Started creating on its own. And it set down the physical law of physics. And from there on, that one thought multiplied itself throughout universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have today. Everything we see around us is a form of that thought. And it is take on different forms of that thought, coinciding with that physical law of physics that thought set down
mm-hmm.
to be able to create all the experiences that we have. So there are an endless myriad of sparks of life, souls, so to speak, and they are creating on their own, but then an perceived individuality, even though they are one. The best thing I can do is to compare it to something in the woods. Let's
mm-hmm.
say that you have a tree that spreads itself through the root system.
Mm-hmm.
That you plant one tree in the middle of a field. Years later, you're going to find out the root system has spread under the ground, and from every 10 feet or so, a new tree sprouts up. So it looks like another tree, and now it looks like a third tree, and let's say 20 years later, you've got about 150 trees in that field. It looks like all separate trees, but it is not. It's the same organism.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same tree that has different above-ground expressions to it.
And here in Colorado, one of the trees you notice that most with is the aspen, the aspen trees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think they spread like that.
Mm-hmm, they do.
Yeah.
Because I'm in Greeley right now, and I live in Red Feather Lake, so I mean, I watch the trees, and they do, they're connected under the earth.
Yeah. And it is the same tree. It's just that it has a different above-ground expression to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the souls. They are one. But they take on different forms to have different experience and to interact with each other.
Yeah. And so, can you describe how powerful the mind is and the subconscious? You know, how
we could interact with each other? Let's talk a little bit about that, because we were never taught how to use the mind. Let me compare it to some, let's say if we took Mr. or Mrs. Average, put her in the cockpit of a Boeing 747 and crawl in the right seat with them and say, hey, let's go flying. Well, they wouldn't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be looking for 20 minutes to find a master switch. But if we gave them a year's worth of training, Mr. Average could take us flying.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the mind. We were never taught how to use this, but if we are taught how to use it, not just on the physical brain level, but also on the etheric or out of the physical mind level, there is really nothing we could not do. And an example on the on this is something that 20 years ago I traveled around the country and I taught a mind development course called, back then it was Subliminal Dynamics, but now it is called ZoxPro, Z-O-X-P-R-O. And this mind development course will show you how to assimilate information out of a book at the rate of 50 to 100,000 words per minute with 95% retention.
Wow.
In other words, you turn the pages as fast as you can,
mm-hmm.
and the mind takes a mental picture of that page, sticks it, bypasses the short-term memory, and places it directly into long-term memory. Because they lower the brainwave patterns down to the bottom of the alpha range, where the conscious mind steps out of the way and allow for it to go right into the subconscious mind, and stashes it in a place in the mind where it can be retrieved when we gives it triggers. We think about something. Okay, I know I've went through that book. I want to find out what so-and-so did on this and this subject. Suddenly that shows up in your mind because you retrieve it. And this is something that school system, they're scared of this because if you had kids that could do this, you had PhDs by the time they were 12.
Right.
And that won't work because what do you need teachers for if you get kids that smart?
Mm-hmm.
So they shun this, but it is alive and well. And in fact, people can find this on the internet, ZoxPro.
And, how do you spell that?
Z-O-X-P-R-O. And it's a phenomenal mind tool. It just doesn't do the reading part. It do more than that. It helps you to structure your mind to be able to, with problem solving and all kinds of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that the mind can do, but just never taught how to do it. Same thing with meditation. When you slow down the mind in meditation, you get rid of the conscious mind, steps out of the way, and now your subconscious reaches directly into the universal mind.
Mm-hmm.
It finds knowledge, finds wisdom, and resources.
Mm-hmm.
That's where if you start visualizing something with emotion and send it to the universal source,
mm-hmm.
that thing you created in your mind looks around for things that it can match in vibration. It always seems to want to be a balance in the universe. So when you think, let's say that you need a house, you need a new house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you visualize a house the way you want it. And go into meditation, keep that there, and send it to the universal mind, where you then say, this is what I need. that house is going to look around to find matching vibrations out there, somewhere in the universe where everything past, present, and future has already been created. So it finds it, and now it draws it back to you. It can come in the form that you thought of it, or it can come in a totally different way. And it could look different, but it would be a new house of some type. This is what manifestation is. We're never taught how to do that either. We can create love in our life. We can create anything that we imagine and send it out to the universal mind and say, this is what I need. The universal mind will look at that and find something that matches the vibration and send it back. Of course, when it goes into the physical, there is a physical laws of physics that has to be adhered to. So to create that house, there are things that has to be put in place, maybe a real estate agent, or maybe there's all kinds of things that has to be done in order for it to enter your life. But those things will be put in place because you will be helping out to create that thing by doing your part of it. Like I say, God will give you the nut, but he won't crack it. So we got to do our part. We have to go out and look at houses. Go to open houses. We have to start drawing maybe on a piece of paper. How's the rooms? How would it be ideal if the rooms would look like?
And with that,
With
that, let's take a break for a couple of minutes. You're listening to the Roadmap for Seekers. We have Augie Nost here with us. Augie, can you give the listeners your contact information, and then we'll go to break?
Okay. In order to get in get a close look at the book, you can go to www.spiritual-sciences.net. That is www.spiritual-sciences.net.
Okay, and with that, we're going to play some interlude music, and we'll see you in just a few minutes. You are listening to the Roadmap for Seekers. You can reach Rhonda Harrison at searchersroadmap@gmail.com. I will soon have an email for this show as well. And we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more information on the universal mind and the subconscious. Sorry, guys. It took me a minute to get back into the studio. So, Augie, let's continue to talk about the importance of the subconscious mind and what we put into our mind. And, you know, in your book, you challenge people to read the book more than once because each time they're going to pick up different things. Is that correct?
Yeah, because the book is written on several levels of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
When you plow through it the first time, you got to get a good concept of what is in there. Go through it the second time and then take notes. Because
mm-hmm.
now the things that you saw the first time and didn't quite catch, it's going to stand out. You're going to understand it the second time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the third time you'll learn even more and
mm-hmm.
understand more. And when this goes in, and I also, the kind of a goofy thing I put up front in the book, I told people, those of you that use glasses,
mm-hmm.
try to read it without glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kind of information that is in it has healing information in it. And
mm-hmm.
it will start affecting the cells of the body. So you just might improve your eyesight.
Mm-hmm. And that totally can happen.
Yeah, it could. And because it is so important what we put into our mind. Because in a mind-created universe, we are all mind. And what we put into it is what we become. What we think about the most is what we're going to have in our life. If we think about only misery and problems and stuff, yeah, you better believe it. You're going to have a load of it.
Mm-hmm.
If we start thinking in possibilities and new things, pleasant things, loving situations, those will fall out of trees on your path, and you stumble over them. They'll be right there in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So start doing and redesigning the way you think is, and it's hard to do sometimes because all these things that we have had happen in the past that keeps popping up. But get rid of it. Push it out and keep it on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because those things, good or bad, create subconscious mind programs that is running all the time and it controls your physical existence.
Exactly. I want to remind the listeners, too, that they can call in to 1-347-838-9142 and press 1, and I'll be able to see you in the back office, and I'll be able to bring you in for your questions or comments. And we, you know, you guys are open to ask any questions that you need to ask. There's no dumb question here. The questions are the ones that the things we need to be asking is, what is it really? Why are we here? What is our purpose?
Well, since you asked that question, let's touch
mm-hmm.
on it.
Let's touch on it.
Yeah. First of all, what we are, it's even though I think I kind of said that, but it is not an easy thing to understand.
Mm-hmm.
We are spirit only. A spirit that has the capability of creating an outwards expression of a hologram that is the physical existence and have these physical experiences that we are having right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this consciousness that we think we experience here is not physical in nature, though it sure feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't. It is spiritual in nature because it is like a hologram. The hologram has no intelligence of its own. It's the computer behind the hologram that has the intelligence and creates what is in the hologram. And we are now starting to create holograms in the laboratories around the world that actually can think on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't gotten to the point yet where you actually have solid substance in it. But if you compare this hologram that we are now creating in the laboratories to a hologram that has been around for 14.3 billion years,
mm-hmm.
do you not think that that hologram should be a little more elaborate than what we can do?
Yeah.
Let's not stop the imagination at what we are. Think of it in the future with millions of years of development of that hologram. That should be able to create what we see around us by now.
Mm-hmm.
We are a hologram. We're not physical. So then how do we create things? When we see things happen to us, the universe will give us warnings. It will warn us when the energy is low, because things happen. You draw things to you according to what your beliefs are and what you're thinking about. And when you're stuck in a low vibration, when things happen around you that brings you down, the best thing you can do is to go into meditation and clear the mind and visualize peace, love, and happiness. It will bring the energy up and surround you with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't matter what the things on the outside are. They will stay on the outside for as long as you're able to keep that in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when your energy is low, and bring it up. You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard to do, but we just don't take the time to do it because we're so overwhelmed with the problems or whatever happens.
And I think we're overwhelmed with the feeling of feeling little. So
yes.
It's about expanding your idea of who you really are and what you can be.
Yeah. It is like there was a philosopher, I think, 2,300 years ago that said, you know, it's not the bad thing that happens to you that hurts you. It's the thought of the bad thing that hurts you.
Right. And that's already something that's done and gone and in the past, and you're now in the moment.
Absolutely. In the physical, it doesn't even exist anymore. We just keep dragging it along and along.
So really, then, we don't have to drag all that baggage around and we can let it all go because it is in the past. So
mm-hmm.
it's done over, learn the lesson, you know, check your notes, whatever. But, you know, move forward and keep being resilient. It's not a punishment to be here. It's all in what you believe you deserve, I think.
Absolutely. And the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm calling it spirit. It's not really. It's more like at the soul level. The spirit can be more different than souls.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's what you create by what you have in your mind that is so important. Whatever happens is in the past, and now you think about this problem-solving process.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with that. Stay with possibilities. Stay with positivity.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing will solve itself. It may not solve itself totally to your liking, but it will be for the good of all.
And it'll be different, and it's part of the journey.
Yeah. Part of the learning experience.
Yeah, because, I mean, not to cut you off, but, I mean, I've had the huge learning experience since doing these shows, and I had a broken back in the fall, and first part of the year, and people thought that I would never walk again or not have to have aid or assistance or something. And I'm doing better than I ever have. And everybody's like, what have you done? And I said, if you talk to the people I talk to on a weekly basis, you know, your whole universe changes. And you start believing that your cells can regenerate themselves and you can get healthy again. That you don't have to stay stuck in the Western medical.
What you just said right now rings such strong because there is so many stories of people that have healed themselves from all kinds of different diseases and accidents and things by the power of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are people that have been terminal with cancer and they cured it by thinking it healthy.
Mm-hmm.
There's stories about that. There's many of them. And the best thing to do for something like that is go look at a map of the body. Let's say that, you had a broken back. If you looked at that break and you look at it, what it looks like when it is healthy, and then keep visualizing that, and the mind will start creating a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Because, remember, we're not physical. We are all mind. The mind can do that. And that's probably what happened to you. There was a bridge somewhere put there so that the information was able to go across the gap.
Yeah, because I'm healthier now than I've been in probably 10 years or even 14, 15 years. And I have people that don't recognize me that have known me for that long, and we can be in the same room and they don't even know that I'm there.
Yeah.
Because I don't look the same.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And, I mean, and it's because of this work that I've done, you know, with these people and trusting that, you know, I can believe as healthy or as sick as I want, and which way do I want it, you know?
Yeah.
Do I want my life back, or do I want to be a prisoner in my body? And I don't want to be a prisoner in my body. I want to enjoy my life and continue to do what I do and travel and, you know, check things out. And that wouldn't be possible, I don't think, if I hadn't been doing this radio show as long as I have been moderating and doing that and doing so many different types of shows that all touch on paranormal, miracles, universal thinking, you know, all the options, you know, doing the tarot, whatever it takes. But we have a caller. Her name's Stephanie, and she has a question for you, Ari.
Hi there.
Hi, Stephanie. Stephanie? We can't hear you, Stephanie. Unmute your phone. Nope, I still can't hear you. Just come out here into the studio in the front room and you can ask your question. And you can use the headset. Turn your phone down or it's going to give feedback. Hang on a second so we don't have any feedback. Okay, so here you go.
This has been a very amazing half hour for me. I've been kind of up in the air on beliefs, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And to me, I believe that everybody has kind of an entity that they talk to, but aren't they all going to the same place, which would be the universe?
Yes. Going to the same place, that will, the phrase going to the same place, that would insinuate that we are in a different place.
Okay.
But we are not. We are, because we are all. We are the all. We are part of the all. We are, excuse me, we are the all, so we are everything. We are connected to everything, even though we have an above ground different expression of it. We are the all. And that entity that you said we talk to, that could very well be that we have, let's take it to an extreme. Let's say somebody is schizophrenic. They hear voices in their mind, and they're talking to them. Believe it or not, that's not all uncommon. It happens. But these mind expressions of that talk that you hear is coming from your subconscious mind. It comes through, it's coming either from or through it. The subconscious mind programs that you have created create almost a life of its own down there. These programs are running all the time. And whether some people say, well, he's got demons in him, well, yeah, but they are in his subconscious mind. Or he can say that there are angels walking with him. It is coming through his subconscious mind, because those subconscious mind program take on almost like a life of its own, and they're playing it in your mind all the time. But you create it in your subconscious mind. Once you understand that, you can control it. If you do not understand it, you are thinking that, oh, they are on the outside. Well, they're coming from the subconscious mind and injected into your hologram, so you can, sometimes you can actually see that or hear it. But it is coming through your subconscious mind in these subconscious mind programs. You can control that once you understand it. You can impose the thought of it that if there is an unpleasant experience with these voices or those entities that surface, you can impose the thought on it, I will no longer have you. You are transmuted into bright white light, and you are joining back with the universe where you belong. If you say something like that over and over again, they're not going to like it, because the ego runs the show in the subconscious mind, and the ego is very protective of its turf. So you may have some opposition to that in different forms, but eventually, once you impose the thought on it that you do not want them, you are transposed into bright white light and joining back with the universe where you belong. If you do that, eventually they will go away. And it's not going to take that long, because they understand they're not wanted.
Wow.
Would that make any sense?
It does.
Mm-hmm.
When the hologram that we are dies or whatever it does, what does
yep.
the spirit do after that?
There are the hologram goes beyond the physical. The hologram also encompasses the astral worlds, the astral worlds, and the divanic worlds. So it's several levels of existence that is within that hologram. So the soul, when the body gets old and dies, leave it alone, and it will disintegrate within that hologram. In fact, once it is no longer there, for what the spiritual world is concerned, it collapses. That part of the field collapses and is no longer there. But in the physical, for the rest of the hologram, it can be observed as a corpse, but it will eventually go away. Now, at the higher vibrations, the soul can still play and have experiences in the higher vibration, in the astral worlds and the divanic worlds, and it is still playing the games that it enjoys to do. And if there is other souls within that reality, and we could call them the guardians of the soul, it gets back to there, and it has a discussion with that part of the mind of what did I learn from this physical experience. And you go through and you relive what you learned, and you find out, would it be good for me to go back and have another life where I work on something that I did not get to accomplish the last time? And that happens a lot. So you end up going back, taking on another incarnation, but the soul creates another body that will grow and have experiences and then eventually also terminate, and you come back to the guardians of the soul again and say, gee, you know, this was quite an experience. I didn't expect half of that stuff, but I forgot that I had already agreed to do this. So you discuss your experience, and then you find out, should I go back and work on other things? Is there other things that I want to experience? And you'll end up going back and doing these physical experiences until you find that, well, I don't think the soul can actually learn much more from me going back and having physical experiences. That's when the physical circle of incarnations will end. Then you'll stay in the higher vibrations and learn more from those vibrations. And a lot of times, have you heard this word, ghosts?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, those are nasty little creatures, huh? No, they can be good little creatures.
Yes.
But these ghosts, they are astral vehicles that they're terminated physically, but they get caught. They are not able to accelerate their vibration into the higher vibrations and follow spirit back. So they get caught in between the higher vibration and the lower, which is the astral world. And they float around in there. They are wandering. Some of them are wandering around. Why aren't anybody talking to me? I mean, I'm here. I'm standing right in front of you. Can't you see me? But they don't know they're dead.
Oh.
So they are caught between. Eventually, that body will also terminate. And then they will move on. The spiritual part of that will move on. So there is contraptions in between that can trap you. And just as long as the ones that are ghosts, they are almost always the ones that don't know anything about the life after physical death. They are thinking of it more in terms of, oh, I got to go to heaven or go to hell. Those can get caught because they're afraid of both those concepts, so they stay in between. They just don't know where to go or what to do.
Wow. That's incredible.
And that's why heaven, that is a real place in a spiritual reality. And it's got streets, it's got buildings, it's got libraries, it's got all kinds of things over there. You got servants and you got masters, and it's kind of like Earth without the money in it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Augie, we're almost out of time. We filled this hour pretty quickly, and I would love to have you back in a couple of months so we can continue this conversation, because I think we're going to get a lot of feedback and information, you know, from listeners that are going to want to know more about this universal thinking.
Yeah.
And I need to see where we're at on the
back. Yeah,
let
me know the time and the date, and I'll be there.
I know you'll be there.
But can you give the listeners
your information again so that they know how to get this book and they can read it a few times before the next time we do a show,
yeah.
Or maybe we can do a show around certain chapters each time.
The really good thing will be go ahead and get the book. You can do the electronic version of it. It's very reasonable. And, the book is a little over $20. So just read the book first until next time I'm on, and then pick stuff out of there that you're puzzled about or what you really want to discuss, and then we can talk about it.
And you can find
that book at www.spiritual-sciences.net. That's spiritual-sciences.net.
Okay, and with that, listeners, we're at the end of our time. It's been a great show, Augie. I'm glad you were on the show today, and I'm glad that my friend in the back got to ask her questions, because it's helped her a lot to understand her grief process and why it's been so different. And you're amazing, and I can't wait to reread the book.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it without my glasses, so it's been very interesting. But we're done for today, and I will talk to you later.
Okay, well, thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, and listeners, thank you very much for such a great day.